ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट 25 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। स उत्तम श्लोक महान मुखच्युतो भवत्पदाम्भोज सुधा कर्णानिलः स्मृतिं पुनर्विस्मृत तत्ववर्त्मनां कुयोगिनां नो वितरत्यलंवरैः। Translation: My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. Purport: It is explained in the previous verse that one has to hear glorification of the Lord from the mouth of a pure devotee. This is further explained here. The transcendental vibration from the mouth of a pure devotee is so powerful that it can revive the living entity's memory of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our material existence, under the influence of illusory Maya, we have almost forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord, exactly like a man sleeping very deeply who forgets his duties. In the Vedas, it is said that every one of us is sleeping under the influence of Maya. We must get up from this slumber and engage in the right service, for thus we can properly utilize the facility of this human form of life. As expressed in a song by Thakur Bhaktivinoda, Lord Chaitanya says, "Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago." The Lord asks every sleeping living entity to get up and engage in devotional service so that his mission in this human form of life may be fulfilled. This awakening voice comes through the mouth of a pure devotee. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet, and therefore he has a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Although when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as a sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord, although up until that moment he had forgotten everything. For a conditioned soul, therefore, it is very important to hear from the mouth of a pure devotee who is fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord without any material desire, speculative knowledge, or contamination of the modes of material nature. Every one of us is kuyogi because we have engaged in the service of this material world, forgetting our eternal relationship with the Lord as his eternal loving servants. It is our duty to rise from the kuyoga platform to become suyogis, perfect mystics. The process of hearing from a pure devotee is recommended in all Vedic scriptures, especially by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One may stay in his position of life. It does not matter what it is. But if one hears from the mouth of a pure devotee, he gradually comes to the understanding of his relationship with the Lord and thus engages in his loving service, and his life becomes completely perfect. Therefore, this process of hearing from the mouth of a pure devotee is very important for making progress in the line of spiritual understanding. In this verse and purport by Srila Prabhupada is stressed the importance of hearing from pure devotees of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hearing from pure devotees of Krishna means hearing about Krishna. Because pure devotees, by definition, like to speak about Krishna. That's what makes them pure devotees. Of course, there's more to... We have to look into this quite deeply also. Because it's quite possible that there are people who speak about Krishna, but by hearing about them, by hearing about Krishna from them, we don't get the expected result of hearing about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada often quoted a verse that Sanatana Goswami quoted, that avaishnava mukhod giranam putam hari katamritam shravana naiva karatavya sarpo chashta yatha payam. The example is given in this verse of milk, which is sometimes in Sanskrit called amrita, which translates as nectar. It literally means non-death. Non-death. Yeah. So, milk is very pleasant to drink. And it is also very healthy to drink. Nowadays, we don't know with so many chemicals and hormones, but traditionally milk is considered a very healthy food. So, drinking milk is recommended. Hearing about Krishna is like nectar, because it's nourishing and very sweet, very pleasant. Very tasty to hear about Krishna. We lost the mic again. Yes, well, Hare Krishna. Yeah. Yeah. Now, if milk is, if a bowl of milk is kept and a poisonous snake comes and drinks that milk, then the poison from the snake's mouth will enter that milk, and though it still may look the same and even taste pretty much the same, the effect of drinking it will not be that we become nourished, but that we become poisoned. So the very thing which seems that it will nourish us will poison us. So the example Sanatana Goswami gives is that we should not hear about Krishna. Sanatana Goswami says we should not hear about Krishna. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Everywhere the injunction is, the recommendation is to hear about Krishna, but Sanatana Goswami says that we should not hear about Krishna from persons who are not devotees of Krishna. So Sanatana Goswami also recommends that we hear about Krishna. But he warns us that this activity, essential to our spiritual development, should not be done if it is done hearing from persons who are not devotees of Krishna, because the desired result of hearing about Krishna, namely purification, will not be affected. On the contrary, our tendency to become Krishna conscious will actually become spoiled. So, although hearing and chanting about Krishna, Shravana Kirtana, they are always recommended, but we have to see that Shravana Kirtana is not always the kind of Shravana Kirtan that is recommended. Even if the subject is superficially Krishna, if the speaker is not a pure devotee of Krishna, then the result is not that we don't get pure devotion to Krishna. Now we may say, well, pure devotees are very rare, but the qualification for speaking about Krishna, the basic qualification, is that one should be faithful to the message of the parampara, of the pure devotees of Krishna. One should not distort the message in any way. And one should oneself be fixed in the determination to serve Krishna without any ulterior motive. So when we think of a pure devotee, we may think of great pure devotees who are always seeing Krishna. They're always in ecstatic, loving trance of love of Krishna. But the very practical understanding is that one who is not practicing Krishna consciousness with any ulterior motive, whose only desire, who is heard from the pure devotees, anya bhilashita shunyam jnana kama dhyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama, who has heard from pure devotees what is the standard of pure devotion, and who molds his life in pursuance of this ideal. The ideal is that one should not cultivate desires for anything but pure devotion to Krishna. One should not desire any gross sensual benefit from approaching Krishna, or one should not desire any gross sensual gratification even without Krishna. Now, and one should not endeavor for that in any way. One should not cultivate the semi-spiritual or pseudo-spiritual desire to merge into the existence of the Lord, or to become one with everything, as it is mythically called. One should not approach Krishna for any personal desire, but one should simply desire to serve Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, which is the pure state, the constitutional position of the living being. So someone who's dedicated himself to that ideal can also be called a pure devotee, and such a person is qualified to speak on Krishna. The power of the parampara will come through, inasmuch as the person, of course, not only theoretically dedicates himself to that, but personally practices pure devotional service by following all the rules and regulations. There are various parameters which are to be understood. The speaker should speak according to the message of the parampara, not deviate from that or introduce any non-devotional ideas, not make compromises with non-devotees in any way should speak the message of scripture as received from pure devotees in parampara. So that is a proper kirtan. That is called kirtan. Kirtan we generally think of as speaking, as singing the names of God, of Krishna. But literally it means to glorify. So one who kirtan means to glorify Krishna. So that by speaking the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the unadulterated devotional manner, that is called kirtan. And shravan also. Who is the hearer? The qualified hearer means one who at least doesn't put any personal obstruction to the message. That means that he's prepared to hear, wants to hear. He's not hearing for simply the sake of curiosity or for any material benefit, because we may think, well, if I hear something about Krishna, Krishna will bless me so my material life will go on better. But who is listening with the same desire that let me hear about Krishna and become purified and learn about Krishna. Now, some hearers may have ulterior motives or less than pure motives, but if they're not envious of the principle of hearing about Krishna, if they're not grossly devious, they can also become purified by hearing about Krishna from pure devotees whose message is very powerful. Why it's powerful is mentioned herein. It's said that the pure devotees, because they always engage in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet, they have a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. That's a very beautiful description. That pure devotees, they're speaking, it's not simply an academic exercise. But because they're fully surrendered to Krishna, they are directly in contact with Krishna, the mercy that Krishna gives. As is commonly sung, Sangsara dava nalalidha loka tranaya karanya ghana ghanatvam praptasya kalyana gunaranavasya vandegaro shri charanaravindam. That the spiritual master's lotus feet are worshipped because he gathers mercy from the ocean of mercy. The ocean of mercy means Krishna. Krishna is oceanic. He is unlimited. The jiva is infinitesimal. The example is given that Krishna is like an ocean. The ocean is, of course, the storehouse of water. Water is required. But seawater will not be very helpful for the living beings on the land. Fresh water is required, not unsalty water. So the water of the ocean is collected by the cloud, and that water is sprinkled on the land, and in this way the crops become nourished. So this example is given. Of course, no analogy can be taken in all respects, but the analogy is that the water, the ocean of mercy, the cloud-like spiritual master takes the water from the ocean and sprinkles it where it's needed. So the message of Krishna, by its very nature, is very powerful. Krishna is powerful. The jiva is covered by maya. In this material world, the jiva is covered by maya. which is also very powerful. Daivihi esha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. The illusory potency of Krishna is very powerful. But we can be delivered from that illusory potency by the mercy of Krishna. And that Krishna consciousness, which is the natural constitutional position of the jiva, can be revived by hearing about Krishna from pure devotees. Now, there's an interesting statement here by Srila Prabhupada. In our material existence, under the influence of illusory maya, we have almost forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. Almost forgotten. So it would seem that most living beings in this material world have completely forgotten their eternal relationship with Krishna. We don't see that people have even slight knowledge of Krishna. So why does Srila Prabhupada say here that the living beings in the material world have almost forgotten their relationship with Krishna? Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain, exactly like a man sleeping very deeply who forgets his duties. So a person who's sleeping very deeply, they forget about their existence in their sleeping state. So you could say that they're at that time they're completely forgetful of their actual condition. So that's just like we, or the average conditioned soul, is forgetful of Krishna. But on the other hand, it can be said that the person who's sleeping, he hasn't completely forgotten about his existence, because as soon as he wakes up, he's expected to remember that. So all he has to do is wake up, and whatever he was dreaming about, he will forget, and he'll just go back to his regular existence. Even though at night, for several hours, we forget what we're supposed to be, what we're doing during the day, but when we wake up, we go on with it as usual. So in the same way, in material existence, we have forgotten about Krishna, and we appear to have no knowledge of it whatsoever. But simply if we wake up to our actual position, we can very easily remember it again. And Srila Prabhupada quotes in this regard, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, "Jeev jago, jeev jago, wake up, sleeping soul." So everyone has forgotten Krishna, but we can be easily awakened to that by the, even though maya is very powerful, we can say maya is like a powerful anesthetic. Has anyone here been in, well, everyone's had anesthetic, I guess, at least at the dentist, but that's local anesthetic, but totally knocked out. Has anyone had that for an operation in the hospital? They take you in, jab you, and then you don't know what's going on until you wake up sometime later. So Maya's like that. She's given us a complete, we're completely forgetful, but that is not our natural position. We can wake up, we need to be wakened up, we can be woken up by the powerful message of Krishna. That's that the message of Krishna heard from pure devotees is very powerful, has already been mentioned earlier in Srimad Bhagavatam. Satang prasangan mama virya sangvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha tajoshana dashva pavarga bartmani shadha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. Hearing about Krishna in the association of pure devotees is very powerful. Hearing about the glories of Krishna, it is very pleasing to the ears and the heart to hear about Krishna. It is like a tonic. And as a result of that, we, of hearing about Krishna, we advance on the path out of this material existence. We become disentangled from this material existence. And our faith, our feeling for Krishna, and ultimately our pure devotion for Krishna are awakened by hearing about Krishna. So the message in itself is very powerful because it restores our... I just gave that example of anesthetic. Another common example, or maybe better example, is that of amnesia. That if we're forgetful of our actual position, but if we hear about it, then we come to understand, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am His eternal servant. That is my actual position, to serve Krishna. So, Shravan and Kirtan is actual Shravan and Kirtan when it is conducted by pure devotees and heard by persons who are serious to understand the purpose of life, who are not there simply for some entertainment, who are not trying to avoid Krishna, but who are very desirous to come out of material existence, to find a solution, ultimate solution to all the problems of life. So this kind of hearing and chanting about Krishna should go on, this powerful message of Krishna consciousness, which begins with... I'm going too fast, is it?
No, no, it's okay.
Starts by hearing? Yeah. So, that's what you're reminding me of what I was saying, yeah. Starts by hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita. That Krishna teaches that we are not the body. We are eternal, spiritual, living beings. We have our eternal relationship with Krishna, but we are conditioned in material existence by the three modes of material nature. Now, this is a very powerful message for those who are prepared to hear it. Hearing about Krishna in his various... Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his various forms, avatars. This is the... basis of the bhakti culture that has been prominent in India for centuries. Hearing about Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Ramayana, especially in some parts of India, hearing Nrsimha Purana, especially in some parts, Orissa, this is very popular. But Srimad Bhagavatam and Ramayana especially. Even now, these are very widely and popularly spoken on. Hearing Ramayana, we could say, is the probably the most popular because it's... Well, the pastimes of Lord Rama are very pleasing to hear. And even for developing character, Lord Rama is Maryada Purushottam, or the Personality of Godhead who teaches by his example how to live properly in this world. So that's very good for all classes of people to hear. Even from childhood, if one hears this, then that will be perfect for developing one's devotion and also learning how to live properly in this world as a civilized person. Of course, in Vedic culture, the concept of what it means to be civilized is quite different from that of so-called civilized man today. So it's better we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, and all these transcendental literatures, what is the actual standard of human civilization? We're talking about hearing and chanting about Krishna, we should understand that traditionally this has gone on the broader background of Vedic culture, in which the value of hearing and chanting about Krishna is universally accepted. It's a principle of the whole culture that we should hear and chant about Krishna. We should act for the sake of purification. Of course, the modern way of life is very different, very bad civilized, so-called civilization, very nasty kind of civilization. So it's good to inculcate in our children and imbibe ourselves what is the actual standard of human civilization by hearing from Shastra, hearing from Srila Prabhupada. He had so many things to say on this point. And base our lives on hearing and chanting about Krishna. Yeah, the message, I was saying, the message is very powerful in itself, is very purifying to hear about Krishna in the manner that our previous acharyas have spoken about Krishna. First of all, giving the basic knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, the basic principles, and hearing about the pastimes of Krishna in a what we can say, in a manner that is suitable. Just now I got a message that someone told me they were looking on the internet for the verses of Gita Govinda. So I asked him, why are you doing that? He said, well, someone recommended that I read Gita Govinda. Who has recommended this? That's not suitable for any but the most advanced, very, very highest level. Not suitable for everyone. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that Gita Govinda, Jayadev Goswami, wrote that for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's for him. That's not for us. So, therefore we should hear from pure devotees, hear from Srila Prabhupada, those who are following Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's voice is very powerful, there's no doubt about it. Now if we say that, if we hear Srila Prabhupada's voice, we hear his intonation is certainly very powerful, insistent, urging us to surrender to Krishna. But the power comes not from any material, the power of Srila Prabhupada speaking doesn't come from any material speaking ability. We can take courses on public speaking. Maybe the most effective public speaker of the 20th century. Any suggestions? I know who I'm thinking of. Adolf Hitler, yeah. You've all seen film clips of him speaking. He's highly motivational. Very powerful. And a demon. Very, very, very sinful person. So he's speaking powerfully, and Srila Prabhupada speaking powerfully. But it's a different kind of power. It doesn't come merely from intonation of voice or any techniques. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, if you go to learn about the techniques of public speaking, Srila Prabhupada broke many of the rules. In fact, one rule he almost always broke was to keep eye contact. Prabhupada would almost always close his eyes, and you can see the recordings of that, the films of that. He would close his eyes and very meditatively speak. But Srila Prabhupada's speaking is very powerful. These books that we're reading from, they're all Srila Prabhupada's kirtan. He said these, these are my ecstasies. He would dictate these. He spoke these. And now they're recorded as books. So it's a very powerful message. We can see it's powerful in that Srila Prabhupada is also very motivational. Hitler was motivational, no doubt, but for very bad things. Srila Prabhupada was motivational to bring people to change the course of their lives in the best possible way, to bring them in contact with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was able to do that because he himself was in contact with Krishna. By his speaking, he brought so many people in contact with Krishna. He convinced them of the need to act in Krishna consciousness, to surrender to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, his voice was powerful, not due to any techniques, but due to his being in contact with the mercy particles, the saffron. How does Srila Prabhupada himself explain it here? The saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Because Srila Prabhupada was very desirous of delivering people to their natural position of Krishna consciousness. Therefore he spoke, he went on speaking, to bring the mercy of Krishna to others. We see that Srila Prabhupada, even when apparently physically he was practically incapable of speaking or even moving, still he was speaking. In the last phase of his sojourn in this world, he was still speaking. He felt the importance of speaking the message of Krishna for the benefit of people in this world. And he enjoined his followers to go on speaking in the way that he spoke, and assured us that if we do so, the same result will be there. If we go on speaking of Krishna, as Krishna himself presents himself in Bhagavad Gita, and then when devotees have some grounding in the topics of Bhagavad Gita, then it's more suitable to bring them into the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, the topics of Gita, we shouldn't, even though it's said to be introductory, but it's that itself is oceanic. Bhagavad Gita is, we can spend our whole life discussing Bhagavad Gita. It's not that it's so very simple, or it's not just, okay, now we learned that 1 + 1 = 2, and that's something we can all accept, 1 + 1 = 2, and then we don't have to think about it anymore. It's just, we accept it as an axiom. But the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, they're so profound and so rich and so deep that we can go on discussing, and as Srila Prabhupada himself noted, that we can study Bhagavad Gita every day all our lives, and every day we'll find more and more rich realizations and understandings, because Krishna is unlimited. So if we go on speaking about Krishna as Srila Prabhupada has presented Krishna, this parampara system of Shravan Kirtan, straightforward presentation of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these are the basic literatures of the Gaurīya Vaiṣṇavas, and of course Chaitanya Charitamrita and Nectar of Devotion. These four books especially form the basis of Gaurīya Vaiṣṇava discussions. Then the result will be that the mercy of Krishna will flow through, and we will become purified. And the more we go on hearing, the more we appreciate Krishna. Because the more we become, the more we hear, the more we become purified, the more that we are able to appreciate Krishna. So the Shravan and Kirtan becomes more and more enlivening. That effect should be there if we're actually being sprinkled with the saffron mercy particles from Krishna's lotus feet. by hearing from the pure devotees. So what's the message? Well, of all this, well, it's the same message that Krishna repeatedly speaks in Bhagavad Gita, that maya sakta manah partha yogam yunjan madashraya sangshayang samagrang mang yata gyasisi tet chunu. Listen, Krishna tells Arjuna, with mind attached to me, being linked with me in devotional service, under my shelter, becoming free from all doubts, hear about Krishna. Go on hearing about Krishna. This, we're again and again, we're enjoined to hear about Krishna. Because we have the tendency, the diseased tendency, to like to hear about so many other things. There's so many things in the world. Maya has presented so many things. So a devotee is not neglectful of this material world, but he doesn't pretend that it doesn't exist, or he doesn't lock himself up in a cave, lives in this world, and so some interaction with this world is required. But the focus of his life is on hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of pure devotees. So let this Shravan and Kirtan go on. Practically, for this, we could say that it would not be incorrect to say that this Krishna Conscious Movement was started by Srila Prabhupada principally to facilitate hearing and chanting about Krishna. Of course, it would also not be incorrect to say that it could be, so many things could be said, because Krishna Conscious is expansive. Krishna Consciousness is, Krishna himself is unlimited. But the prime activities of Krishna Consciousness, hearing and chanting about Krishna, that should be done with this sincere motive to surrender more and more to Krishna. One should hear from pure devotees, those who have dedicated their lives to Krishna, who present the message of parampara. This is actual Shravan and Kirtan. And in this way, purify our lives. Shravana kirtana karo anukhana asata pachala chari kahe prema ananda manusha janama shafala karo nabhari. The Vaishnava poet Premananda says, go on hearing and chanting about Krishna incessantly. Give up all useless talks. We're all addicted to useless talks. Give that up. This human life, in this human life we have the facility for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So the poet Premananda says, go on hearing and chanting, make this human life successful, and don't put it off, don't think, well, later, no, do it now, hear and chant about Krishna. So is there any questions? I can take some questions now. From the questions we can understand if devotees are reading Prabhupada's books or not. From the quality of the questions. So now you'll be afraid to ask, maybe, unless you're reading Prabhupada's books. From the questions I can understand, devotees are not reading the books enough. So now we'll see. Yes, please. Sundarananda. Is there another mic? I think there, yes?
I can try to speak very loud.
Okay, all right.
You were explaining, we heard this father from Rupert by Shabrao, but I tried to explain, you nicely explained the importance of hearing. And when we are actually discussing about Krishna consciousness, I would like to request that you run again. More explain what are the effects of our daily life of being Krishna conscious.
What are the effects in our daily life?
I'm asking these questions in the sense
of being Krishna conscious.
Yes, yeah. In the sense of we are functioning on the basis of experience, and we want the experience of conditioned souls are dealing with three modes of material nature, you know? And without spiritual knowledge, we don't see any problem in acting like that. So when we hear about importance of intuition, sometimes there is a question, how it affects our life.
What happens to us? Yeah. How do we practically perceive the effect of being Krishna consciousness? Being Krishna conscious. Well, what is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings? That Chodike Ananda Dekhi Dukha Duregam. What is the first line there? Dukha Duregalo. I'm just forgetting the Bengali now, but he says that. Since I've taken shelter at your lotus feet, he's speaking to Krishna, that I'm feeling very happy. And all my miseries have gone away. I'm just trying to remember the Bengali, but I'm not remembering. So that should be the effect. And seeing everything in relation to Krishna, seeing through the eye of Shastra. There are so many, what comes about by being Krishna conscious, there are so many descriptions. Bhakti Parishanubhava, Virakti Ranyatra. One experiences Krishna in his life, and that is practically seen by being detached from everything else. This is practical. We don't want to do anything but serve Krishna. Krishna-centered life. We like to associate with devotees. We like to hear and chant about Krishna. We like to study Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the signs of advancing in Krishna consciousness. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You want to do that, Hanuman, as you're close by to both of us?
Vidimo često da osobe koje nisu savršene bhakte.
We often see that persons who are not perfect devotees.
Na neki način imaju moć da donesu čistu poruku drugima.
In some way they have the power to transfer this message to others.
Postoje primjeri mnogih bhakta u Hrvatskoj koji su napravili desetke bhakta.
There are many examples of devotees in Croatia who made 10 other devotees.
Međutim, oni nikad nisu imali moć da na neki način praktiziraju svjesno Krishna.
But in some way they never had the power to practice Krishna consciousness.
Dakle, opet drugi dan rekao si u lekciji da trebamo slušati od čistih bhakti.
From the other side you said in the lecture that we should listen from the pure devotees.
Odakle onda ta moć nekome ko nije tako napredan bhakta da prenese poruku drugom?
From where does this devotee get the power to transfer this message, although he's not pure?
Yeah, some people who are they're able to bring Krishna consciousness to others. Other people are impressed by the message that they preach, but they themselves are not practicing properly, even though others become influenced. Where did they get the power to do that? Well, of course, what I was speaking just now was the general principle that we always speak. But it may be that some people temporarily, they have some charismatic potency to influence people to come to Krishna consciousness. But they themselves, if they're not very serious, they won't be able to last very long. Or even if we'll see that people who have the potency to bring, they take the message of the parampara and they're able to speak it in a manner in which others are influenced, but and others take to Krishna consciousness. But if the others who take to Krishna consciousness under the guidance of persons who themselves are not properly practicing, those persons will never be able to properly practice themselves. So, someone who has a distorted approach to Krishna consciousness, they may be able to bring others to some kind of distorted kind of Krishna consciousness. But the full surrender to Krishna will not take place. And that's the story of so many. I was just now mentioning about the culture of India, in which speaking about Krishna and Ram goes on. So there's basically a culture of bhakti, but because in most cases the speakers they have some ulterior motive, or they don't have a clear concept of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. In many cases they're influenced by impersonalism. Then the persons who come to them may in some ways be improved, but they won't be able to come to pure devotional service because they're under incorrect guidance. So, therefore, that's another point which I didn't elaborate on today, but which, of course, Srila Prabhupada often elaborates on, is that ultimately, one to become a pure devotee, ultimately one has to be desirous of being a pure devotee and understand what being a pure devotee is. Bhakti is cultivated with tattva-gyan, tat-stradadhana munayo gyana vairagya yuktaya pajanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shuta grihitaya. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, they have to hear the message of the Shastra and understand that. Just like this verse I just quoted, asang shayang samagrang mang yatag yasisi trachtrino. You listen, Krishna says to Arjuna, in such a way that you'll be free from all doubts. In other words, that one will have a clear understanding of what's going on. So it may be that some people, they, due to charisma or to some level of Krishna consciousness, for some time they're able to bring others in. But the persons who come under them, in many cases, they'll become disillusioned when they see that such persons don't follow properly. In some cases, people who are themselves are not practicing properly or who don't have a clear conception are able to bring persons to Krishna consciousness, and then those persons, by associating with other persons who are properly situated, they come to understand that the person who brought them in himself is not properly situated. Then they're fortunate. But if one remains under the guidance of someone who has ulterior motives or is not practicing properly and takes them to be a pure devotee when they're not, then one cannot properly develop in Krishna consciousness. So we see even sometimes people, they've read the books a lot and they like to read the books, but then themselves they maintain some materialistic understanding. Even though they like to read the books, they can even speak very well on the books, but they themselves may have a materialistic approach in Krishna consciousness, or they may distort the philosophy a little bit for one's own to one's own understanding. So we see sometimes people who are very learned in the scripture, but they themselves have their approach to Krishna consciousness is such that people don't come to pure Krishna consciousness, or they themselves may not be very interested even in bringing others. Sometimes we see people who their whole idea of preaching is just to collect money. I don't want to get political here, but that's quite common in India. That somehow or other it's because it's among many devotees, it's thought that, well, even in India, in our ISKCON, in many temples, a preacher means someone who goes out and collects money. That's what's called a preacher. So the idea of bringing in money, and that means our movement is a success. But actually, how people are advancing in Krishna consciousness, how people are coming to Krishna consciousness, how their lives are changing, how they're becoming transformed, that should be the meditation of an actual preacher. And very faithful to at least those of us who are in ISKCON. You should be very faithful to Srila Prabhupada. Of course, different people may define what that means to be faithful to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, anything else? Yeah. Yes, please.
You said in the lecture that Bhagavad is also, you know, sounding so deep. I just heard in the first case of Srila Bhagavatam where Vishnu Devi is speaking to Maharaj Yudhishthira, and he said one thing that if you want to conquer anger, practice forgiveness. And this was the sentence. It was not described how to practice forgiveness. So is there anywhere in Vajrayana literature where you can tell the process how to practice forgiveness?
How to overcome anger by practicing forgiveness, Bhishma Dev says. But it's Srila Prabhupada didn't elaborate on that in the purport. Well, that gives us a good excuse to look through all the rest of Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada actually gave the example of Jesus Christ in that regard, who said, forgive them to the people who were torturing him and to kill him. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't think Srila Prabhupada ever studied the Bible, but he must have heard bits and pieces from in his school days. We find also Haridas Thakur was completely... In that case, it wasn't even forgiveness, because he never even... It didn't come to... Forgiveness means that, first of all, you feel badly towards people who are mistreating you. But if from the beginning you don't feel that they're mistreating you, a Vaishnava is supposed to think that if someone behaves in a manner that normally people would think I'm being mistreated, a true Vaishnava would think that, well, thank you very much, you're giving me what I deserve. Or you're helping me to be Krishna. Krishna is acting through you to give me something which I deserve much worse. So anger, the kind of anger that's being described is the anger that comes when one thinks that someone has behaved badly toward him. So that can be overcome by forgiveness. But even from the Vaishnav standpoint, of course, Bhishma was instructing Yudhishthira as a king. An even better platform, the Vaishnav platform, is to think that, well, of course, it's easy to say this. I mean, if someone comes and slaps me in the face, I'm not sure how I'll react. But it's the ideal that we should aspire for, is that we should think that if someone acts, I don't know how to say it, because if someone acts badly toward us, but we shouldn't think that anyone is acting badly toward us in the first place. That's a very high level, but that's the level to aspire for. Yes, you had a question?
I was wanted to ask if somebody is continuing chanting and hearing but doesn't change himself, what does it mean? He's doing offenses.
If one doesn't change by chanting and hearing, what does it mean? Well, in the second canto, Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti as saying that one who doesn't change even after hearing and chanting, they must be pseudo-devotees. On the other hand, we may not know what's going on internally. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada told the story of the prostitute and the Brahmin who lived on opposite sides of the road. The Brahmin would read Bhagavad Gita all day and the prostitute would do her business all day. And the Brahmin was thinking, you know, this is disgusting. And then some calamity happened, and they both, maybe some earthquake or something. So they both died at the same time. So the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas came. The Yamadutas came to the Brahmin's house and said, no, you're supposed to go over there. the Vishnu Dutas are for me and the Yama Dutas are for her. They said, no, we came to get you. And the Vishnu Dutas would come to get her. And how, he asked, how is that? They say, because you're sitting here reading Bhagavad Gita, but you're always thinking of how bad that prostitute is. Whereas the prostitute, she's doing her business and she's thinking how pure that Brahmin is. I'm so unfortunate I'm in this situation, but he's so pure, he's always thinking of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. So the Vishnu Dutas came for her and the Yama Dutas for him. So, after this lifetime of sitting on big seats, I'm probably going to have the Yamadutas coming to me. At least I'll have the chance to bow down before pure devotee, Yamaraj. So, anything else? Yeah, shall I take a question from Hanuman? He didn't ask one yet.
My question is, does a pure devotee fall down?
Does a pure devotee fall down?
Because you mentioned in the lecture that we must hear only from pure devotees.
Must hear only from pure devotees. So the best thing is to wait till someone's 99 years old, and then when they're physically incapable of falling down, then you go and hear from them. That's actually what some devotees do, right? They try to find out some old Indian person, of course. Old Indian devotee. Does a pure devotee fall down? No, a pure devotee doesn't fall down. Now, of course, we have to see Srila Prabhupada's books we have to read very carefully, because sometimes when he says devotee, he means all categories of devotees. Sometimes when he says pure devotee, he means all devotees who are practicing very seriously. And sometimes when he means pure devotee, he means Dvadash Mahajan. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Pralada, Janako, Bhishmas. Baliya, Vyasakya, Vayam. He means devotees on that platform, of the great pure devotees. So, pure devotee doesn't fall down. We'll read that. Sometimes, for some purpose of Krishna, pure devotee may appear to fall down, like Arjuna appeared to be in Maya. Parikshit acted atypically of a pure devotee by insulting Shamika Rishi. There are other examples. Brahma became bewildered, Shiva became bewildered, but it's understood in such cases that there was some special purpose of the Lord being served. Not that they were conditioned souls.
So what happens then with you were talking that we should only hear from pure devotees. So what happens?
But that I gave the understanding we should hear from pure devotees. That means I gave the broad definition of pure devotee. That Prabhupada himself was, while exhorting everyone to come to the completely perfect standard, he wanted his disciples to go and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world and practice and preach pure devotional service, knowing that the effect would be there by following. When devotees asked about George Harrison chanting Hare Krishna, they asked what would be the effect of that. Prabhupada said, well, because he's heard from me, then his chanting has effect. So, because the contact is there, it's analogous to the Yeyata Mang Prapadyante verse, that as much as we surrender to Krishna, that much Krishna reciprocates with us. So, as much as we surrender to and follow Srila Prabhupada, then mercy comes through. And we see that people take to the pure devotional service by hearing from those who speak the message of Prabhupada and act according to that message. Is it not? Are you doubtful about that?
My question is actually very simple. Somebody comes to Krishna consciousness, gets initiation, gets spiritual master, listens from him many lectures, maybe for years, 10 years or something, and then spiritual master falls down. So if he fell down, that means he never was a pure devotee. So what happens?
If he falls down, he was never a pure devotee. Yes, he was a pure devotee, but in the sense that, in the broader sense, but not in the sense of Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilomana. The effect is there. As long as a person is within the spiritual energy, then the spiritual energy can come through them. And when you step outside, then you're outside. But even then, that's clearly stated in the Bhagavatam, that a devotee who's been sincerely practicing, they don't fall down in the same way that karmis do. Navai jano jatu katanchana vrajan makunda sevyanya vadanga sangshacham. What's the rest of that verse? Anyone remember that? Anyway, the purport is that even though a devotee may appear to fall down and just be like a karmi, he's not. Because you can never really forget Krishna. You can never be a materialistic person in the full sense of the term. So such persons' Krishna consciousness can very quickly be revived compared to others. And we find that many devotees, they go away, but they come back because they can't fit in with the material world. Yeah.
How does Srila Prabhupada's analogy about mangoes fit in this context when he said that devotees can be like green mango and ripped mango?
Green mango and ripe mango.
How do we know whether we are a mango?
How can we know if we are a mango at all? Am I a devotee or a demon? Well, constitutionally we're all devotees. But we're living, acting, and thinking like demons. Are we devotees? Well, we shouldn't think I'm a devotee. But we should act as devotees. So we shouldn't think that our power to, that we are so bad that we can overpower the spiritual energy. That my non-Krishna consciousness is more powerful than Krishna's mercy. We should think that if we're acting in Krishna, if we're trying, then surely Krishna will help me. We shouldn't think that Krishna is going to be like, they have this idea, like in Christianity, that if you're not in this particular church, then God kicks you out. It's not a roulette kind of game. If we're trying to serve Krishna, then Krishna will acknowledge that. We shouldn't think that we deserve any mercy from Krishna. At the same time, we shouldn't think that Krishna is going to just reject us. Yeah.
When you quoted the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Sanchi and Bhagavad Gita, they said that you should be free from all doubts. You can see that in our dealings with spiritual master, we maybe don't reveal all our doubts. So what is the importance of peers in removing the doubts?
What is the importance of peers in removing our doubts? Well, Srila Prabhupada had this system of having classes in the temples, in which we discuss the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and by doing that regularly, then our conception of Krishna consciousness becomes clear. And again, it's not just an academic process. It's not like learning something in the university. But by purification, then we see everything clearly. And when we say doubt, I mean, we can't know everything about Krishna. So we can't understand everything about Krishna, but we don't doubt the principle that Krishna is the master. I am to surrender to him. We don't doubt that principle. Otherwise, so many details. It's just like, again, someone just wrote to me and said, well, I read this on the internet, blah, blah. And I wrote back and said, look, it's not my duty. It's not my duty to answer everyone. They wander all over the internet. And there are all these different things. You know, by reading this, someone's going to say something which is going to be contrary to what you've heard. So it's not my duty that people write in. So many things are out there, and I have to sit all day and just, you know, this, that, you know, poison, and, you know, this, and so-and-so said this, and so-and-so said that. I told him, it's better you apply yourself to read Prabhupada's books. You have so much time for wandering around all over the... wander through the fish market of the internet. Better you read Prabhupada's books, and then everything. Otherwise, you see, there may be unlimited doubts. There's so many people say so many things. But that's why I'm saying we should hear from pure devotees. Hear from people who, by hearing, we will be benefited. Why should we subject ourselves to so many things which won't benefit us? Of course, that doesn't mean we're blind to various objections, but at the same time, our spiritual nourishment is from hearing about Krishna in the parampara. That's what nourishes us. So that's our food. That's our spiritual food. Anything else? Any question from the ladies?
No.
Okay, should we make that the last one then? You want to run off or you'd like to be here? No, often it happens that devotees have to go a long way and this and that. They want to leave. Yeah.
I don't understand. If you could kindly explain, if we make progress in Krishna consciousness simply on account of mercy, Guru and Krishna, Yasya Prasad, Bhagavad Prasad, so what is then a proper understanding of the role of Vaidhi Sadhana, of our own effort?
What is the role of our own effort if everything depends upon mercy? Yeah, but we get the mercy, but though. The ducks who quack loudly, they get you fed more, right? You know that saying? The ducks who quack more, they get more. You know, if you're at the pond and you're throwing bread to the ducks, the ones that quack, 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 they make more noise, they're calling out for the mercy. They're the ones who tend to get it more. They're more eager. So we, by following the practices, the rules and regulations, that shows that we are serious and we get the mercy of the Lord. And these processes, they save us. What is it? There's yama, niyama. Yama, that saves us from grossly sinful activity. Four regulated principles. Don't eat meat, don't drink wine, and all these kind of things. Don't watch kami movies. Don't wander all over the internet. These are all... Don't do this. Because if we do, that will hamper our advancement. Then there are positive activities which are purifying activities. Hear about Krishna. Chant about Krishna. So these are purifying. Ultimately, the purification comes by the mercy of Krishna. But we have to place ourselves in a position where we'll get that mercy. Krishna gives us the mercy in the form of his instructions. So if we follow them, then we get it. We're more likely to get it. As Srila Prabhupada often said, if you don't think that I will get an honorary degree. Sometimes the university gives an honorary degree. So if you think I want to get a degree from the university, so they can give me an honorary degree. I won't bother going through the course. And then that won't work. That's unusual. One should go through the standard.